This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
The scripture reading today is from the Old Testament, Exodus 20, 1 through 17, found on page 82. Just follow along with me. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth degree generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in the 6 day the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to take a brief moment of personal privilege here before I begin. I want to introduce to you and welcome my brother and sister-in-law, the Reverend Mike Williams and Lily Santoro Williams, who are joining us today. Michael is a chaplain in the Air Force Reserve and will be deploying for six months, this week. So he is with us on a limited time only engagement, and I have not asked him to preach today. The timing is convenient that Mike and Lily are able to pass through today because, of course, we just got back from family vacation without the two of them. We got back from a vacation. We visited my grandmother in Delaware, and then we spent a few days in Washington, D.C., and got to see all of the wonderful monuments to all of the great men who did all of the wonderful things, and several of just monuments to events that men and women contributed to. Of course, there are lots of women standing behind the great men, but they don't seem to get statues nearly as often. It was particularly resonant for me, I think, in sort of this fraught moment in our nation's self-identity to go back to D.C. and kind of recall some of the principles that we intend to stand for, some of the things that we intend to believe and commit ourselves to as a nation, reminders of who and what we can be. And I appreciate as well the this has increased a lot since the last time I was in D.C. There's much more acknowledgement at these monuments to great famous dead white men and elsewhere in the nation's capital increasing acknowledgments of the underside of that history. Not only the women who stood behind those famous great men, but also the enslaved African Americans who built this free country without having freedom of their own in this free country. And there's just much more acknowledgement of the ways that our history stands in tension with what we expect our history ought to be, the way that our actions stand in tension with our principles and our values and the things that we intend for our country to be. And so I think we're getting better at holding sort of that contradiction, holding the contradiction, for instance, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness claimed by a man who denied people the right to ownership of their very own selves. And I think there's something really faithful to those great men in acknowledging the underside of that history. I think there's something faithful to what the country is about to be honest about who it is and who we have been and what we have or have not managed to live up to. I think there's something faithful in acknowledging, as those same people would acknowledge, that their actions and words and even their principles don't quite measure up to what it is we intend to be. Those founders and framers of the country knew that, especially when it came to that topic of slavery. They knew that they could name slavery as an evil, but they also knew that it was integral to the economic system of the country, an economic system that pretty much exclusively benefited landed white men. And I think of it this way. I think of it as a group of people who were devoted to some really high ideals, who really, really strove after some really high ideals, and at the same time, people who were beholden, I could even say enslaved by lower desires and profits and status. And for all their great, wonderful envisioning of a country, they also couldn't quite imagine their way out of the historical situation they found themselves in. And this is not to pick on any of those famous dead white men. This is my country and my sin as well. I use that word sin deliberately because I think that being enslaved to a lesser value, a lesser principle, a lesser good, rather than being fully, completely devoted to God, I think that's actually a really good way to talk about what sin is. I think it's a lot more useful, incidentally, than talking about sin as just misbehavior that I have to feel guilty for, because if you try to make me feel guilty about something, I will feel defensive about my actions, and then the conversation doesn't go anywhere. But if you let me acknowledge that I'm stuck, that I'm ensnared, that I'm even enslaved by the way that I have gone through the world, well, then there's something I can be set free from, and there's a chance to begin again. And when I'm honest, I know that that's where I am. When I'm honest, I know that I am also stuck between my highest ideals and my very real actions. I'm aware that I am stuck in that between space, in my response to a history of racial and regional and political divides. I know that I'm stuck between my desire for wholeness in the world and my contribution to climate change and its disproportionate impact on the global poor. I know that I am stuck between what I intend and what I do when I look at how I organize my time and my attention for family and work and community and all the people that I love. When I'm honest, I know that my desire to love and serve God alone so often takes second place to all kinds of other desires and needs and worries as I go through life. I am hopelessly ensnared by, hopelessly enslaved to other gods, gods of my own choosing, gods of my own making, gods of my own failure to believe. And that's the context in which I read these Ten Commandments today. I hear in these Ten Commandments liberation. Liberation from all of those things that ensnare me, that hold me back from actually living into the values, the principles, the ideals, and the relationship with God that God has intended for me. We're going to spend 4 weeks in these Ten Commandments, and each week we will read all 10 of them and reflect only on a couple of them, and even that won't come anywhere close to the depth of these words and the depth of this covenant promise that God gives to us. Each week I intend for us to read these as a promise. These are not just rules to follow, but rather these are words that set us free. These are ways of being in the world that God intends for our freedom, so that we can be set free to be God's holy people, so that we can be set free from any other master but the God who loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And so today I invite us to hear that freedom in those first two commandments. The second one is that one about not making idols. And the first one is this: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Can you hear the promise in that? Can you hear the promise in that first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. And why is that important? That's important because the people were enslaved in the land of Egypt. That's the narrative context where this covenant comes from. God has saved a people from slavery for the sake of freedom. And God claims God's people from having to belong to any other master. There are no other gods before God, and that is a promise. That's how the covenant works. And then that second commandment, that commandment about not making idols and bowing down to worship them, that commandment remembers that we also make gods for ourselves. We are hopelessly enslaved to being enslaved. And yet God claims us anyway. These Ten Commandments are about God's claim on us, no matter what. God's claim on us no matter what we have allowed ourselves to be enslaved to. And in the New Testament, we tell the same story over again in another way. We talk about a story a lot like the Exodus, a story about God coming down to our place of slavery and calling us home. God who came in flesh in Jesus of Nazareth to save us from our sin. God who came in Jesus not concerned at all about the masters that we have ended up serving in the meantime, so long as we can tell the truth about who we are and how we've been. A God who is not concerned about who else it is that we have served, because this God knows that God alone is our Lord. God in Christ comes and claims us when we thought that there was no way we could ever be redeemed. That's the story of the cross that seals God's claim on us once and for all. God the Holy Spirit comes and surpasses everything that we could have imagined or pictured God to be, and shatters every idol we could make and opens us to serve God alone, always and everywhere. So just as the covenant was made through the law at Mount Sinai, the covenant is made anew for us through the cross. It is the promise that we don't have to be enslaved to powers other than God. We are set free so that we might serve God alone. And so we are free. We are free to name and reject whatever other God seems to be claiming us at this moment, whether someone else chose it for us or we chose it ourselves. We are free to love and serve God with all that we are, to love our neighbor as ourself, and to trust in God's abundant provision always, everywhere, and for all. We're going to dig deeper next week into how we can live into this covenant. We're going to dig deeper into the promise that God makes for us today and forever. But today, know this: the Lord is our God. We belong to no other. In Jesus' name, amen.